I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we start off in Dubbo. And I'm going to be talking to our listeners about some attractions, some must-see and do things in Dubbo.
That's right. One of them is the Dubbo Zoo.
The Dubbo Zoo is a fabulous place to go, listeners, and make sure you don't do it on a really hot day.
Yes.
Don't do it in January like we did.
No, take your car with you and have a car fridge and fill it with cold drinks.
Fill it with cold drinks and plenty of ice creams. If you want to run a black market while you're driving around the place, you'd make a fortune because the food at Dubbo Zoo can be really quite expensive. The other thing I want to tell people about in Dubbo is also the Dubbo Jail.
Yes.
Very historic place.
It is.
Fabulous must see and do if you're in Dubbo. Then straight after that.
We're at a little place called Terramunga Mine, which is just out of Dubbo.
Terramunga Mine, okay. That's a mouthful. Who are we chatting to there, Lynn?
Andrew and Julie, and they're with Zoo to Zoo.
Now, Zoo to Zoo started out as a bicycle ride from Taronga Zoo in Sydney
to Dubbo
Zoo.
That's correct.
And what they do now is they ride their bikes and they raise money for people, I think, that are suffering with depression and anxiety and
stuff
like that.
One of them is the Black Dog Institute.
The Black Dog Institute, yes. Then straight after that, I'm going to be chatting with
Ken Wilson.
Now, Ken Wilson has the Truck Caravan Road Safety Program.
That's correct.
And he's got a fabulous Facebook page with over 22,000 followers.
I'm not too sure.
Huge amount of people on that one. And very, very important subject today, listeners, and that is interacting and communicating with trucks.
Yeah, very important subject.
Extremely important because there's a lot of people out doing their wrong thing. They think
that's
doing the right thing, but extremely dangerous, some of the things they're doing to communicate with the trucks. But before we do any of this, I want to start the program with a couple of songs by Lee Kernaghan.
Okay.
First one is called Flying with the King.
Yes.
Which is all about him and
Slim Dusty.
And the next one is
Living in Australia.
Which is the greatest country in the world.
Of course.
So apart from all these fabulous interviews, Lynn, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show.
It was answered 6:03. He sits down next to me. We were flying out across the Great Divide, bound for WA. He shook my hand and said, "G'day." There I was, Slim Dusty by my side. I was flying with the king, riding on the wind, a small town boy from nowhere. My head up in the clouds, all the times I heard him play, and here I was today. I was flying with the king. Trumby riding slow, 30,000 feet below, way down there out of fire of Gidgee coal. The desert stretching on, home to countless dusty songs. He was a man who walked a country mile. I was flying with the king, riding on the wind, a small town boy from nowhere. My head up in the clouds, all the times I heard him play, and here I was today. I was flying with the king. Thank you. touchdown, he smiled and said, I'll see you around. There was so much more to say, but he was gone. And now he's gone. I was flying with the king, riding on the wind, a small town boy from nowhere, my head up in the clouds, and all the times I heard him play, and here I was today. I was flying with the king.
Listeners, Phil C here, and I'm going to tell you some of the incredible things that are available to do in Dubbo, okay? Now, most people think of Dubbo, and the first thing that immediately pops into head is Taronga Western Plains Zoo. Now, it's an absolutely fantastic place to go, okay? And I have been there myself a couple of times. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, you really get to see these animals up close and personal. There's no bars, there's no cages, and the way they've set it up, you can either hire a cart and drive around, or hire a bicycle, or take your own car and drive around. Absolute must for the family and the kids. Now, I'm going to tell you a bit about that in a moment. Now, we've also got the incredible Old Dubbo Jail, and I've been there as well. Absolutely brilliant place to go. A lot of history, a lot of heritage there. We've got the Japanese Garden. Now, I've not been to that one, but I will tell you a little bit about it. We've also got the Royal Flying Doctor Service Visitor Experience. There is the Dubbo Observatory for all those people that are interested in studying the stars. There's Red Earth Estate. Alrighty, and there's just so much to do, okay? Now, we've got the Dubbo Visitor Information Centre, which, of course, that's the place you've got to go if you want to find out all about these places. Now, there's the Western Plains Cultural Centre. There's the Arana Mall for anybody who wants to go shopping. You've got the Macquarie Regional Library if you just want to kick back and maybe read a book or just relax, you know, get out of the Dubbo heat. You've got the Lazy River Estate. You have the Macquarie River. There's the Riversdale Shopping Centre. Look, there is so many things to see and do in Dubbo. And if you think it's just Western Plains Zoo, I've got news for you, okay? Now, I am going to tell you all about one of my favourites there, apart from the zoo, of course. That is my most favourite. But what I'm going to tell you about now is the Old Dubbo Jail. Now, at the moment, listeners, the jail is closed because of the COVID situation, okay? But for future reference, just a little bit about the jail, okay? Now, you get to explore the jail in your own time, or you can catch literally the characters in costume as they dare to outsmart the jail warden, okay? So, for some tall tales and performances by an animated wardens and prisoners, check out their tours and performances schedule. Now, the entertaining stories on prison life and their attempts to break out. Good behaviour is rewarded, so purchase your tickets in advance online and receive a 10% discount. Now, the jail is normally open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's closed on Christmas Day. Very, very reasonably priced, okay, the admissions. And unfortunately, as I said, because of COVID, you know, at this situation, at this time, you can't actually go there. But it's definitely a place not to be missed. So a little bit more about information about the jail. The Old Dubbo Jail is a heritage-listed former jail and now a museum and tourist attraction. Okay, now it's located at 90 Macquarie Street, Dubbo, in the Dubbo Regional Council. And, of course, Dubbo is in New South Wales. Everybody, of course, would know that. Now, the jail was designed by the New South Wales Colonial Architects Office, and it was built from 1847 to 1945 by James Atkinson Jr. Now, the jail is also known as the Dubbo Jail. The building was added to the New South Wales State Heritage Building Register on March of 2004. Now, the building was the second jail in Dubbo, replacing lockups built way back in the 1800s, 1847 to 1862. Now, when closed, the government of New South Wales planned its demolition and replaced it with a multi-story office block. So the Old Dubbo Jail was erected on the site of the original courthouse. It's believed to have been officially opened back in 1887. Now, many of the buildings, however, were already in existence by this time, so many changes and new buildings followed. The surrounding walls also changed shape. Now, closed as a jail in 1966, I believe, the complex reopened as a tourist attraction in 1974. Now, back in 2015, the Old Dubbo Jail won a silver prize in the cultural tourism category of the 12th Travel Inland Tourism Awards. The jail was inducted into the Tourism Hall of Fame. Now, in August of 2016, the jail was closed to allow extensive restorations and renovations on the site. Now, the Old Dubbo Jail is a small, compact jail located within the central business district of Dubbo. So now the Old Dubbo Jail is a state heritage listed must-see attraction in Dubbo. It's remarkable It's a complete and intact jail. Now, it's operated for 119 years, from 1847 to 1966. This set of 19th and 20th century jail buildings create an experience with bringing history to life. It's incredible. Now, the regional jail is a representative of powerful, surprising, dark moments in Australian prison history. The house importance collections, such as the largest collection of handmade ropes in Australia, and unforgettable experiences such as the eerie silence of the dark cells and the bird's eye view from the watchtower. With guided tours, night tours, and theatrical experiences on offer. And I've seen this, folks. The people that dress up in character and wander around the place really is something to see. Now, the old Dubbo Jail is a rare piece of history open to explore. Twilight and Beyond the Grave night tours run during New South Wales school holidays. Now, bookings for this one, folks, are most definitely essential. Oh, well, there you go, listeners. A little bit of information about the old Dubbo Jail. Now, stick around. I'm going to play you a song now made famous by John Williamson, okay? It's a track called Botany Bay, and it sort of describes all about the prisoners who came to this country, and a lot of them probably would have spent some time there in the good old Dubbo Jail. So stick around. We'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after this song, listeners.
Farewell to old England forever. Farewell to my rum culls as well. Farewell to the well-known Old Bailey, where I used for to cut such a swell. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Tain't leaving old England we cares about. Tain't cause we misspells what we knows, but because we all light-fingered gentry hops about with a log on our toes. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Now the captain, as is our commander, the bosun and all the ship's crew, are the first and the second class passengers, knows what we poor convicts go through. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Oh, had I the wings of a turtle dove, I'd soar on my pinion so high. Slap bang to the arms of my Polly love, and in her sweet presence I'd die. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. So come all you young dukies and duchesses, take warning from what I've to say. Mind all is your own as your touches is, or you'll find us in Botany Bay. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay.
Hello, listeners. Phil C here with my lovely other half, Lynn. And we are at the Tarungamine Reserve in Tarungamine. Is that correct? Is that where we are?
We are, Phil, just outside Dubbo. It's a beautiful part of the world.
All right. And I'm with Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo. Now, tell us all about Zoo to Zoo, guys.
Well, the Zoo to Zoo started in 2006 as a bike ride from Taronga Zoo in Sydney to Taronga Western Plains Zoo in Dubbo.
Okay.
And it was going to be a one-off event, you know, get the t-shirt, tick the box, move on.
Right.
But we decided to do it again in 2007, and it has grown to be what it is today, which is a series of rides that go between zoos.
Right.
Which is between Sydney and Dubbo, Canberra and Mogo down the south coast.
Okay.
Melbourne, Dubbo, and even London, Paris. So a good way to spend a few days on the bike.
Okay, so what's the idea of Zoo to Zoo? It's other than just great exercise and seeing lovely places. Julie, would you like to answer that, do you think? Or should we leave it with Andrew Andrew at this point?
Oh, I think Andrew would be the authority on what the point of Zoo to Zoo is.
All right, so obviously then, it's apart from the exercise, seeing wonderful places, what is Zoo to Zoo all about?
So the Zoo to Zoo started, as I said, in 2006. We've supported a number of charities over the years. We supported the Kids Cancer Institute in 2006, which is a great charity that raises awareness and also funds to look for cures for childhood cancers. And then we raised money for the Dubbo Maternity Ward. And in 2008, the Dubbo Taronga Plains Zoo, the Tasmanian Devil Appeal. And then in 2009... we started supporting the Black Dog Institute.
Okay.
And we've supported them ever since. And all the charities they've supported are fantastic. And the Black Dog is like that. They just help so many people who suffer from mental illness.
Mental illness.
Which is...
depression, anxiety.
Yes, schizophrenia, things like that. That just, unfortunately, affects so many people in the wider community. And it's also breaking down the stigma. So if someone goes to work and they've got a broken arm, they'll get a lot of sympathy from their colleagues, or they've got a broken leg. But unfortunately, traditionally, if someone does have issues with depression or mental illness, it's almost seen as there's a stigma attached.
Yes.
And so it's breaking down that to say that there is help available, and because it affects one in five people, that means that basically everybody is affected by it, whether it's a work colleague, a family friend, and there is so much help out there that people just have to basically not only ask for it, but also look out for your mates.
Yes.
Because you can just see how people's mood changes, and they might be a bit withdrawn. They might be a bit more, you know, outward sort of, it's like, oh, hang on.
Extrovert.
Yeah, when they're supposed to be a bit more introvert, you know, hang on, what's going on there? So it's really looking out for people. And back in 2009, when we started supporting the Black Dog Institute, they had a campaign, Exercise Your Mood. And it was just really saying that if you do go for a bike ride or a paddle or a walk, you release endorphins and you just basically feel better.
Feel better, yes.
Yeah, so that's what the Zoo to Zoo support now is the Black Dog Institute.
Okay, and apart from that, though, which is a great cause, of course, the things that you do, it's not only riding a bike, you also mentioned you do the paddling.
Yes. Yeah, so we have a great group here in Dubbo called Wom Dom Nom. We maintain that if Dubbo ever gets renamed, they wouldn't call it Dubbo, they would call it Dubbo or Macquarie, a bit like Strathfont upon Avon, Henley on Thames.
Yes.
But they would refer to it as Dom, D-O-M, rather than Dubbo Macquarie. They do the same with Wellington and also with Narromine. And because those three towns and cities in Western New South Wales are so reliant on the Macquarie River, we do a paddle over 4 days in November.
Yes.
Down the Macquarie, starting in Wellington, Wom, going through Dubbo, Dom, ending in Narromine, Nom. So it's the Wom Dom Nom.
Wom Dom Nom.
And the website, womdomnom.com. So,
okay.
And again, we support the Black Dog Institute because it's another sporting event, and it, you know, there's so much work to be done in that field.
In that field, and I guess it's at one stage, because we mentioned before, it was considered to be like the sickness or the disease of the new millennium, but depression, anxiety, I mean, even the name, black dog, that was Winston Churchill's term for how he described his own depression. So depression is something that's been around for a long time, and I guess a lot of people not really understanding what was wrong with them initially, and or even being too proud to admit that they were depressed or feeling anxious. So it was just, oh, I'm just having a bad day. Yeah. But it's okay to have a bad day. But, of course, when bad days turn into bad weeks and bad months, that's when things can really get nasty, isn't it?
That's right. And Julie and I have done some community training so we can go to Rotary Clubs and CWA groups and do a presentation on behalf of the Black Dog, not to say that we're professionals in that field, but just to sort of... But there is a difference between having a bad day because your football team lost on Friday night.
Yes.
Then when it becomes prolonged and you've got day after day, and there is so much help available, and this releasing endorphins, it's make sure that if you do have a bad day at work, go for a bike ride, go for a walk, do whatever, and then so that at least the next day you can start afresh and not compound the issue. So yes, but as you said, Winston Churchill and a lot of people in history do write about it, and and luckily now it's in the media quite a bit, and there is a lot of help available.
I guess the thing too to consider is if you are suffering with this with one of these conditions, rather than obviously going for a ride, going for a walk, that's all positive. But I guess the most important thing would be to seek some sort of medical help, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Talk to your family doctor, to the GP.
Absolutely.
And, okay, he can put you on something which will help and maybe bring you to a level place.
Yep.
But then doing the other things on top of that is probably, in my opinion, more positive than actually just taking a pill every day.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and a lot of people probably rely on a pill because when you're in that sort of space or in that sort of place, you know, it sounds great, let's go for a walk. But some people don't even feel like getting out of bed, let alone go for a walk.
That can actually be the struggle, can't it? It's like you've got to be motivated enough to get up, get changed, get out the door and put one foot in front of the other. And if that's the blocker, that you just don't have that motivation or desire or don't have someone to go with you, even, you know, getting somebody to get out the door when they really don't want to can be a major challenge. So, yes, that's part of the work that the Black Dog does is doing research into these disorders so that other organisations like Beyond Blue can better support people in their, you know... in their time of need. So when you do reach out, you're getting a range of strategies, not just one, just the go to your GP, take the pill.
Yes.
But, you know, they've got a lot of really good online diagnostic tools and support strategies so that if you're somebody who doesn't want to take the pill, but you need some help to get over or to get motivated to do the other things, then there's a whole range of online tools that you can access.
Okay. And so you've been associated with this group for a long time and obviously you're going to continue doing it because it's such a great cause. How much money do you think you guys would have raised on these various things you've done, the rides and so on and so forth?
I think it's close to $2 million so far.
$2
million. Yeah, so it's... Yes, and that's because we do get a lot of support from obviously the riders, the paddlers, and their businesses as well.
Yes.
So, and a lot of our riders,
friends and family.
Yeah.
Friends and family.
Very generous. Yep.
Absolutely. So it's and a lot of that sort of money, especially that the Black Dog puts into these community presentations. So people, if they need to sort of send someone out to Galagambone to do a talk.
Yes.
And it might cost $15,000 in terms of accommodation, flights and all that sort of thing. Well, there's that money available to be able to do that as opposed to the people of Galagambone having to come up with that money to then get that presenter out there. So, as Julia said, that the amount of research that is going into mental illness these days and breaking down the stigma is crucial. And it's... And, you know, there's that fantastic day in September, Are You Okay Day? Because it's important to look out for your mates because
Absolutely.
it's pretty hard for someone to go to the GP, but it's maybe encouraging someone else to go. So make sure that, you know, you go with your friend and all that sort of stuff.
Well, mate, this has been a wonderful talk. I'd love to keep going with it, but I'm sort of running out of time. My presenter over there, my producer's giving me the wind-up. So what we're going to do is I'm going to play you an Aussie song before we finish, but Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo, is there any websites? You mentioned the one I could hardly pronounce. What was that one?
The womdomnom.com.
Womdomnom.
Womdomnom. Wellington on Macquarie, Dubbo on Macquarie, Narromine on Macquarie.com.
.com.
And also Zoo to Zoo with numerical two. So zoo, numerical two, zoo.com.
Okay. So fantastic. And then, of course, there's the Black Dog itself.
Absolutely. Black Dog. .org, I think, .au, I think it's their website. But, yep. Yeah, if you Google Black Dog Institute, it'll be up the top of the Google search. So, yes, and they're a great organisation, and anybody who wants to get in contact, please do so.
Great causes. Fantastic. And that's what you need to do, listeners. Check those web addresses out, okay? Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo, thank you so much for taking the time. The most amazing people we're meeting on the road here at Tarungamine Reserve. Did I say it right?
Terramunga mine. Very, very close, Phil.
I've got to admit, I'm pretty ordinary when it comes to some of these local town names. So thank you so much for your time. What can I play for you? What's your favourite Aussie song?
Oh, we've got a great band, Australian band, that's originally from Dubbo, Thirsty Merc. So if you could play 20 Good Reasons, Phil, that would be fantastic.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking some time, Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo.
Thank you.
Stick around, listeners. After Thirsty Mercs, 20 Good Reasons. We'll be back with more Roman Oz.
I wrote that book. I climbed that wall. I had one look. But you just came around to say hello. The streets were filled with guilty hearts. And here was I right from the start, and I lost everything when I lost you. Tomorrow comes today, for all we know.
Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. G'day listeners, Phil C here. This is Roman Oz and I'm chatting with Ken Wilson again, and he is from Truck Friendly Caravan Road Safety Program. How are you today, Ken?
I'm terrific, thanks, Phil, and how are you?
Mate, I'm having a great time, still on the road, still travelling, we're still in Tassie, and it's such a pleasure to have you back on the program again. I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us. I know how busy you are with your website and your Facebook page and so on and so forth, so it's a great pleasure for us to have you on.
My pleasure.
Matey, what would you like to discuss today? What do you think is another really, really important program or subject to add to this program?
I think one of the biggest issues out there on the road that a lot of people may get confused about is actually interacting with heavy vehicles.
Right.
On the road.
Okay, I think that's an excellent one because a lot of drivers, you know, as caravanners, they're still giving like truckers a right hand blinker sign to say it's safe to go around, but of course that's not really a good idea, is it?
Yeah, look, it's very, very intimidating when you're in a small vehicle, a car, or even a four-wheel drive towing a caravan, and you have a very, very large and heavy truck coming up around you. So yep. A lot of people sort of get the wrong impression on what to do, and they may panic a little bit and stress out a little bit, but it really is a simple program. But indicating in that you mentioned is yes. Is fraught with danger.
Yes.
Although it is in very, very common use at the moment.
Yes.
And still recommended by some truck drivers, etc.
Yeah.
Recommending to, if you've got a truck behind you and you indicate using your right-hand blinker that it's okay for them to pass, or mm-hmm. even if it's not a car to indicate to pass, that's actually illegal now in Western Australia.
Yes.
Every time that I've brought it up on my Facebook page, I get compounded with stories from drivers who have indicated to turn right, and next thing they know, somebody behind them thought they were indicating to that it's okay to pass and come up beside them
mm-hmm.
As they're trying to turn right.
So, okay.
There's been a lot of accidents, people killed, etc., from that type of interaction
yes.
as well. So. The best way that I recommend is with a UHF radio.
Okay.
I personally believe they should be compulsory if you're towing a large trailer.
Yes.
In a truck, communication is just so vital on the roads, and an indicator can mean so many different
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. Absolute fraught with danger. Yeah. Now, you did yeah. mention
for example,
on... Yes, go on.
For example, there's a common... one where you might be driving along, you're overtaken by a road train, etc. And a lot of people, when the road train is past your vehicle and it's safe for them to pull in,
mm-hmm.
they will flash their lights.
Right.
Now, this is in very, very common use and been done quite safely for a lot of time. However, I asked the question, if that road train was cutting back in too early and was going to hit the front of your vehicle with his trailer.
Right.
What would you do? You would probably flash your lights anyway.
Yes.
To warn him to say, hey, look, you're still there.
Okay.
So flashing your lights can have multiple meanings. So get a UHF and say, hey, you're right, it's okay to pull in now.
Okay.
Although I'll back off a little bit to give you a bit more space or mm-hmm. whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you've got this sticker that you designed, which, in case people missed your first chat with us, you've actually got a sticker, and it's quite a large sticker that you had designed, which is a way of communicating with trucks. The trucks know that you're interested in communicating with them. Do you want to just touch on that again, just lightly, in case someone missed us?
Yeah, certainly. If you go onto our website, truckfriendly.com.au, there's a section called Get a Sticker.
Okay.
And that explains a bit more about it. Basically, it's a round green 30-centimetre sticker. So it's mm-hmm. a large, it looks like a large sticker. When you put it on the back of a caravan, it does shrink quite a bit.
I can imagine.
It's not quite as large as it looks when it's on the back of the van.
Right.
But the idea of that, if you put it on the driver's side in the upper driver's side corner on the rear of the van, and you're entitled to a free sticker. These stickers are free at various locations.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cost if you need me to post them out to you. But,
of course, yep.
There's about 50 locations throughout Australia where you can get the stickers.
Right.
By having the sticker on the back of the van, it lets truck drivers and other drivers know that you have a UHF radio, you have it turned on, monitoring channel 40.
Right.
And that you know how to interact with heavy vehicles.
Okay.
So what it does, it tries to break down that barrier of the truck driver doesn't know. Life's like a box of chocolates, to quote Forrest Gump.
Yes.
You don't know what you're going to get.
Uh-huh.
The driver could be an arrogant so-and-so and just going to drive on. He could be an idiot who thinks that as soon as you try and, he'll slow down in front of you and all sorts of weird and wonderful things that people do thinking they're trying to help.
Yep.
By having that sticker on there, they know that the driver has read our website. That's one of the conditions. You've got to read our website on how to interact with heavy vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So that everybody does the same thing. So the large stickers are designed so that they can be seen from about 100 metres at rear, follow from a vehicle following the caravan or motorhome or whatever it might be.
Right.
So they're very easily identifiable. By having them in the same location, you can easily see from a distance that, hey, there's a green sticker. They're round, they're not the same shape as a lot of other stickers, and they're that friendly green colour.
Now, in relation to the sticker, is there a particular place on the back of your motorhome or caravan where it is supposed to be placed? Because I know with the do not overtake turn, for example, there's various signs for various vehicles, and there are regulations where you are supposed to place the do not overtake sign. So what about with the truck friendly? Has it got to be in a particular place?
Well, the do not overtake signs are legally regulated.
Right.
The truck friendly stickers aren't. So
okay.
They can be placed anywhere. However, we strongly, strongly recommend that they be placed on the driver's side, top right-hand corner.
Okay.
If all the stickers are placed in roughly the same location, it is very easy then for a driver behind to identify what that sticker is.
Okay.
I've got, in some cases, the van might already have some other logos or things in that top corner, in which case they can't be placed there. I had one guy who actually placed it on his spare tyre cover.
Okay.
I don't know how long it would last on a vinyl spare cover, but,
yes.
The idea is to put it there in a nice prominent location. If they're all in roughly the same location, it makes identifying so much easier.
Mm. I would have thought that placing it on the spare wheel cover is a bit pointless because trucks are so large and the drivers are up so high. To see that, they'd have to actually look down, wouldn't they? Whereas if it's at the top right-hand corner, it's almost in the eye level with some of these trucks.
Well, it is when the truck is following close, and that's a whole other issue.
Yes.
But the stickers, being with the size that they are, they're designed to be able to be seen from 110 metres.
Okay.
Which is at 100 kilometres an hour, 110 metres is a safe following distance.
Right.
Now, trucks, any vehicles, including caravans, towing trailers, over 7.5 metres in Queensland and in most other states and that as well, the legal following distance, I think, is 60 metres.
Okay.
So, when you see these caravans following in close convoy, they're actually breaking the law.
Okay.
Now, if the area is used by road trains, then that distance stretches out to 200 metres.
Okay.
And the idea there is so that vehicles can leapfrog around each other and you don't have this big convoy of vehicles held up by one arrogant driver who's thinks he rules the world.
Exactly, Exactly. Okay. Now, is there a particular way to interact with trucks? You've got your sticker on there. And what is the, is there a, an actual language that, that the, you know, the drivers of motorhomes or caravans should use, or should they just say, oh, g'day to the truck behind me? I mean, how does he know who he's talking to?
No, usually you'd be able to see some identifying thing on the truck. It, let's say, for example, I'm driving along in my caravan and, a big green truck comes up behind me and I recognise it as a Richie's truck.
Okay.
Richie's are very common on the Queensland highways, etc. You know, you just give him a call up and just say, hey, does Richie's truck following Ken and Jenny in the Coromore van?
Yep.
Let us know if, when you want to come around. I'll make it easy for you.
Okay.
Usually you'll get a response. Yeah, thanks, mate. I'm happy staying behind you, or I'm turning off up here, or whatever it might be.
Right.
Sometimes they'll also say, well, there's a long straight coming up here. I'll see how we go there, you know. But sometimes it might be as simple as, hey, look, there's a small town coming up. We're at 60 kilometres an hour, or even 50 kilometres an hour in some of them. I'll pull over there and let you get past.
Right.
And you know, you normally get a thank you from from the driver for that.
The other way is
if the truck is going to overtake at highway speed, once you know that they're getting ready, et cetera, so, you know, bring it around when you're ready. Never tell them when to do it.
Yes.
It's up to them. It's their decision. They know their truck's acceleration. They know their load. They know the road in a lot of cases. So they'll make their decision on when they're going to come around.
Okay.
So when you're ready to bring it around, I'll make it easy for you.
Okay.
So maintain your speed while the truck is behind you. When the truck pulls out and is in the other, the overtaking lane, the oncoming lane, or on a dual lane carriageway in the lane beside you, when they get up beside you, then you can back off the accelerator a bit. Don't brake.
Yes.
If you brake, you can get a bit of caravan sway, etc.
Okay.
By just backing off the accelerator, you're reducing your speed a little bit.
Of course.
And it allows then the truck to overtake a little bit quicker.
Right.
Now, while they're out there in the danger zone in the other lane, you know, a lot of things can happen. You wanted them to get back in front of you as quickly as possible to make it safer for both of you.
Yes.
You're stressing while there's this big mammoth truck beside you. So you want to end it as quickly as you can. So just back off a little bit. Don't brake. And just assist them to get around.
Yes.
Now, the problem is these big trucks, they're pushing a lot of air at the front of them, especially the cab over trucks, et cetera.
Right.
It's like pushing a brick wall. So there's a lot of air in the front of those trucks. So when the truck overtakes you, or even when a truck's coming in the other direction and you're passing, going different directions, you'll notice a big push of air onto your vehicle. Now, if he's coming from behind, the first thing that's going to get this air is the caravan, the light caravan.
Right.
So it's going to push the caravan to the left-hand side.
Okay.
As it overtakes. After the truck passes, and even during the depending on the length of the truck and the trailers, etc., there'll be different air movements, etc., as well. And then after the truck has gone, there'll be a large suction. So that'll suck the caravan back over onto the other side of the road.
Okay.
So you've got these push and pull effects happening on the caravan as the truck gets up to the tow vehicle. The tow wheel's going to be affected by these air dams and that as well. So you've got to be aware of those when overtaking. Now, if you're overtaking a truck, and for the life of me, you've got to really, really want to have to do that.
I wouldn't be
It's something that I avoid like the plague.
Yes.
Because most times it's just not necessary.
No.
You know, people overtake a truck because they're a little bit slow going up a hill. Well, you know, they're going to speed up and be on your tail going down the hill.
Of course, yeah.
And if they've, when you're overtaking a truck, you're going to have that suction as you're starting your overtaking maneuver, because the low air pressure at the rear of the truck, that's going to suck your caravan and your whole rig into the truck.
Okay.
So you need to be aware of that. Don't make any major corrections. But just try and hold your vehicle straight. When you're overtaking as well, a lot of caravans are going faster than they really should be to try and get around the truck as quickly as possible.
Yep. Yes.
Once they get up to the front of the truck, you've got this air dam, once again, pushing the trailer, pushing the caravan and tow vehicle to the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see a lot of truck videos. If you Google caravan sway, you'll see a lot of them are from dash cams of trucks where caravans have been overtaking a truck.
Right.
So they're overtaking, they get the air, they get pushed, sucked into the truck. As they get up to the front of the truck, the caravan is pushed over to the other side. That starts the sway.
Right.
And then if your caravan is on borderline or near caravan sway stage, then that'll take it over the brink, and that's where you get a lot of the caravans getting their dangerous sway and rollover.
Okay.
It's because there's some factor there that just creates a perfect storm.
Fabulous. That would be fabulous.
But communicate. Another thing too is don't, some drivers, they get there and they've got a truck behind them, and it's they drive over, and the caravan being wider than the tow vehicle, often those tyres may drop off the side of the road. Well, the last thing the truckie wants is to be showered with rocks and have his windscreen smashed.
Of course, yeah.
So you're going to get a bit of abuse from that sort of behaviour. Some drivers also have reported around the campfire drinks and that they'll say, oh, when a truck's behind me, I slow down so that they can get around me faster.
Yes.
That's the worst thing that you can do.
Yes.
And the truckies absolutely hate it because they've then got to lose their engine revs.
Of course.
And go down to get out of their power bands. And so they're going to take a longer period of time to actually get around.
Okay.
So there's all these sort of factors that most of them are explained on our website.
Yep.
Under caravan safety, overtaking, etc.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of trucks are speed limited.
So, yes, they are.
For example, on a overtaking lane on the highway, once you know you've got a few cars behind you, make sure you get into that left-hand lane and then back off a little bit.
Yep.
That way, it makes it easier for other vehicles to get around you.
Right.
The trucks, because they're speed limited to, they may be speed limited to 100 kilometres an hour, they're not going to overtake you as fast as a car that'll speed up to 120 or 130 kilometres an hour to get around you.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll take that extra space. So they need a little bit of a help.
Yes.
So, you know, by backing off that little bit and communication on the radio.
Okay.
And if they, you know, when the end of the lane is coming, the sign saying, you know, lane ends in 50 metres or whatever, 500 metres.
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware of that and keep an eye out for other vehicles that may be doing a last dash to get around you.
Okay.
Indicate early that you are going to go back across, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Try to avoid cutting anybody off, but let all the other drivers know what you're intending to do nice and early.
Yes.
So that they can either know that they've got to accelerate to get around you or back off and let you back in.
Okay. Fantastic. Great advice there, Ken. And I just want to let any of our audience know that also you are not a truck driver, are you? You're not a truck man telling caravaners how to do it.
No, I'm not going to tell. I'm not a truckie trying to tell other caravan what to do.
Yep.
I am a caravaner, always
yes.
have been.
Right.
Never been a truck driver. I do have an MR license
mm-hmm.
and driven a couple of the larger trucks. The information I'm giving is from a caravaner's perspective.
Right.
But I do have a lot of respect for other drivers, no matter what they're driving, whether they be trucks or wide loads or big caravans or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of the program called Truck Friendly is to encourage a working relationship with other drivers on the road.
Of course.
We've got to remove that us and them stupid mentality that is out there. We have the truck drivers saying, oh, bloody wobble boxes and caravanners and whatever.
Yep.
And the caravanners feel intimidated by trucks, you know, following really closely and all this sort of stuff, which
okay.
is quite illegal, but anyway.
Yes.
So you have this us and them mentality. We need to get rid of that garbage.
Okay.
We have a lot of truck drivers who say that, they need a truck license to tow a caravan.
Yes.
Well, when you talk to the truck drivers who have now given up truck driving and are also caravanners,
right,
a lot of them will report that it is a different set of skills to driving a car towing a pig trailer.
Yes.
A caravan is a pig trailer.
Okay.
They are a completely different setup to the semi-trailer.
Okay.
Which is the same as a fifth wheeler in the caravan sort of mode.
Interesting. So they're all different. Different skills required. Ken, could we talk about maybe pig trailers on the next program or fifth wheelers? Because I myself have a fifth wheeler and I've met a lot of fifth wheelers on my travels, and I'm sure I can learn something from you about fifth wheeling. And we could either do, say, fifth wheelers next week, or maybe we could do pig trailers, whichever you'd prefer.
Pig trailers are by far the most common.
Okay.
A pig trailer is your basic standard caravan or box trailer.
Okay.
There are pig trailer where there's one or two or sometimes three axle groups in the middle of the trailer.
Okay.
A dog trailer, for example, is like your gravel truck with the trailer on the back where you've got a wheel on each corner,
mm-hmm.
and the front axle actually turns. On a pig trailer, the there's no turning wheels.
Yep.
The center axles basically just support the trailer.
Well, maybe next.
There's loading. There's a lot of issues with those. They're probably one of the worst trailer designs. So they give them to the drivers who have the least experience. the least training.
Okay. What about then if we say for our listeners that are tuned in now for next week, we're going to talk about pig trailers, which is basically what a caravan is. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we'll leave that for next week's subject, Ken. It's been a pleasure having you on the program again, and I know the listeners are going to look forward to tuning into you again next week. Or next fortnight when we can fit you in, or when you can fit us in, and we'll work that out and we'll make the discussion on pig trailers.
Sounds good.
Fantastic, Ken. Thank you so much for your time, mate. Before we wind this segment up, I've got to play an Aussie song. Have you got one in mind for us today?
Well, just for all the caravanners and fifth wheelers and that out there, Lucky Star, I've Been Everywhere.
Sounds like a great track to finish up with, Ken. Thank you so much for your time today.
You stay safe. Cheers.
All right, listeners, we'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after Lucky Stars, I've Been Everywhere.
I've been everywhere.
Well, I was humping my bluey on the dusty Oodnadatta Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Oodnadatta, mate, with me you can ride. So I climbed in the cabin and I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. I said, listen, mate, I've traveled every road in this hill land, 'cause I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert's bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Been to Tullamore, Seymour, Lismore, Mooloolaba, Nambour, Moochdor, Kilmore, Moorillaba, Birdsville, Emmerville, Wallaville, Connawana, Connemara, Strathbrown, Prospine, Nalladala, Darwin, Gingin, Lilliquin, Muckdilla, Wallamilla, Bougainvillea, Cumberilla, I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert's bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Yeah, but listen here, mate, if you've been to
Mori, Tari, Drillaby, Bamboo, Toowoomba, Gunnedah, Carringbah, Willamaloo, Dalveen, Tambourine, Ningadine, Jindabyne, Lithgow, Casino, Brigalow, Narromine, Megalong, Wyong, Tuggerong, Wangarilla, Morilla, Orcathella, Brindabella. I'm the fella who's been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert's bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Yeah, I know that, but if you've been to
Wollongong, Geelong, Currajong, Mullumbin, Mittagong, Molong, Grong, Grong, Gundawindi, Yarra Yarra, Boondah, Wongarra, Tarramarabou, Garragundagai, Narrabri, Toowoomba, Golgong, Adelong, Billabong, Cabramatta, Parramatta, Wongarra, Coolangatta. What's the matter? I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert's bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. I've travelled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Yeah, look, that's fine, but how about
Big Wedlong, Danlong, Woodenbong, Ballarat, Canberra, Moolpara, Yundam, Skunkclack, Clonkai, River Murray, Kari Kari, Gurawin, Terrigal, Stock, Mobile, Collaroy, Narrabeen, Bendigo, Dorigo, Bangalore, Windapur, Kirribilli, Yarra, Philly, Wollongilly. Don't be silly, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert's bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. I've travelled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been here, there, everywhere. I've been everywhere.
Okay, mate, you've been every place except one, and you don't need my help to get there.
hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.